Hello and welcome to the Browns Blitz. Today is Tuesday, October 22nd, and this is episode 24 of the Browns Blitz. I am very pleased to be joined by a friend of mine and an excellent football guy, just an all around good person, one of my favorite people, Peter Jones. And some of you may not know Peter because he's more of a Packers fan, but he is just a good all-around football person, and he's going to bring some great insight. So we had a good exchange on Twitter recently about something, so I wanted to bring him on the show and talk about this. So, Peter, welcome to the Browns Blitz. How are you today?
I'm very good, Rod, and I'm very, very, very pleased to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, anytime. And I think this would actually be a good time to mention this before we get going, that I've talked about some changes coming with the Browns Blitz. Peter is actually going to have a recurring role on the Browns Blitz. He's going to be on probably about every other week. Peter is as much of an NFL historian probably as I know. He knows a lot about the history of the NFL, has a great interest in it. And it goes, you know, he knows a lot about the Packers, but he knows a lot about other teams and other people and historical figures, too. So he's going to be coming on the show and talking about some of this and some current topics and so forth. So I'm definitely really excited about that coming up, Peter.
Well, you know, thanks, Rod. And the rumors about me being there when the NFL first started 100 years ago are not true.
Yeah. some people might think the same about me, and I can say the same thing. I wasn't there either. I've been a fan for a long time, just like you have, but yeah, not quite that long. So before we get things going, we always start the show off by talking about Blitz beverage, and I have to say, Peter, I kind of cheated this time. I grabbed a beer, but I grabbed one that I've talked about on the show before. It's a Tuesday. It's 6 o'clock my time, so I just wanted something just kind of smooth. It's just right after my dinner, so I grabbed a Kentucky Vanilla Barrel Cream Ale. And anybody who's had this is such a tasty beer. It just has an excellent flavor to it. The Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale, I'm not a huge bourbon guy, so after a while, the bourbon kind of is too strong for me, I think, in a Kentucky and the Bourbon Barrel Ale. But the Vanilla Barrel Cream Ale, it's just excellent. And maybe it's a beer with training wheels a little bit, but I really like the flavor of it. So that's what I brought out, and that's what I'm going to be enjoying during the show. So, Peter, what are you drinking something now, or what's your favorite beverage?
Right next to me now, Rod, is a Starbucks Grande Latte. So I'm more of a coffee connoisseur than I am a beer man, I'm afraid. Starbucks Latte, too many of those each day is kind of my beverage of choice. And given it's getting on towards midnight now, it's probably going to help me through the night.
And so you're joining us from across the pond, as you like to say, and yeah, there's a bit of a time difference. So yeah, I can't blame you for drinking a little coffee. If I was to drink a beer at midnight, it would pretty much put me just right out to sleep, I would think.
Well, I'm hoping it's going to keep me awake for a while, ready for when the baseball comes on in a couple of hours or so.
That's right. World Series, that's kind of out of our scope of what we usually talk about here. But I think everybody's going to be tuning in since it's a Tuesday, and there's, especially with there not being any NFL football on tonight. So yeah. They definitely scheduled that well. So we're gonna move on, and we're going to talk about this little exchange we had on Twitter. And it was really just a tweet, I think, in response to something I said. And you said that this Browns team this season reminds you of one of the Packers teams. So why don't you just kind of talk about that just briefly, and then we'll kind of get in and break it down a little bit more.
Sure. It It really does. It reminds me of the 1993 Green Bay Packers. And that 93 Packers team had a young quarterback in his second year as a starter, Brett Favre, who in himself Baker reminds me a lot of. But he kind of came to the fore the previous season in 92, and then in 93 had a bit of a struggle. He ended up throwing more picks than he did touchdowns. His completion percentage dropped. And, you know, I think that teams had tape on Favre in 93 that they didn't have in 92. And I also think that pressure builds on a young quarterback. So I think, you know, there's a huge quarterback comparison between those two teams. There's also a historical comparison of the teams in that, you know, the Packers have been down in the doldrums for a long, long time, you know, before the 92 season. You know, I think they'd had, off the top of my head, two winning seasons in 20 years. Mm-hmm. So you could kind of see the comparisons of the franchises as well.
But they still had that great foundation going back to the 60s and before, just kind of like the Browns.
Absolutely. And I think that it, you know, great foundation of a great franchise. But I think in a way that made it even harder, I think, for the down seasons and the losses to be borne by a franchise that expected to win. But it had gotten to the point where, you know, before Mike Holmgren got there in 92, where the Packers didn't know where the next winning season was coming from, you know. And so that 92 team and then the 93 team, you know, Holmgren, that was his first head coaching job. So 93 was his second season as a head coach. And that reminds me a lot of the situation that Freddie Kitchens is in. And I know that this is Kitchens' first official year, but two very young offensive-minded head coaches in their first roles, and of course, you know, Ron Wolf with the Packers, the GM, John Dorsey with the Browns, and they clearly have, you know, the long-term connection. But also, their styles are very similar. You know, neither of them were prepared to sit pat. They're always prepared to make moves, make trades, even if they weren't necessarily popular trades, to make moves to try and improve the team. And I just think that there's so many comparisons when you look at those two teams. And that Packers team in 93 went 9-7 and scraped into the playoffs as a wild card team. And it was three more seasons before, you know, they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And it could be that's where the Browns are. The Browns could be just two or three years from reaching that summit.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, what was the fan base? How did the fan base react? Because I'm sure the expectations, I'm assuming, were higher than 9-7 going into that season.
They absolutely were, and you know, the Packers had finished 9-7 the previous season in 92, mm-hmm. which, as I said, that was just their third winning season in 20 years, and prior to the 93 season as well, or in free agency that year, they signed Reggie White. So it looked like all of the pieces were coming together. You know, you'd got your young buck of a quarterback, offensive-minded head coach. You'd got your stud pass rusher. There's your Myles Garrett comparison, if you like. And mm-hmm. everybody expected that Packers team, perhaps not to go to the Super Bowl, but everybody expected that 9-7 to become 11-5 or 12-4, and it just didn't. And Favre, you know, struggled badly, and yet 2 years after that, Rod, he had his first MVP year and had three consecutive MVP years. Mm-hmm. So I think I think it gets difficult when you're stuck in the middle of it because you don't know how the thing's going to turn out. We don't know where the Browns are going to be this year or next year or 2 years or 2 years from now. So I guess it's easier to look back on that Packers team and you think actually they were building something at that point and it was just a slight down year, a learning curve for Favre. From the outside looking in, it just feels that same way for, you know, for the 2019 Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to go a little further with the comparison. The Packers made the playoffs at 9-7. I think it's
as a wild card.
I think I don't know the way things are shaping up in the AFC. It almost seems like the Browns have to win their division to make the playoffs. Now it's very early in the season still, so things can change rapidly. We really don't know where a lot of teams are going to go yet, but that was the Packers' first playoff berth in a long time.
Yeah, so they've been to the playoffs, that was the first playoff berth since 82, which was the strike shortened year. So if you really count that one, because that was an expanded playoffs, and before that it was 1972 before they'd been to the, you know, since they'd won the division. So
yeah, so even though they didn't win the number of games they were expected to, they broke that playoff drought. So that had to have been a positive. So I'm thinking at the end of the season there probably wasn't a lot of finger pointing as to whose fault things were.
No, I don't think there was, and I think you're right. You know, they scraped into the playoffs as a wild card team, and then they won their first playoff game in Detroit, and then lost to the Cowboys in the playoffs, and pretty much everybody lost to the Cowboys in the playoffs in that period of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess if they'd finished 9-7 and not got into the playoffs as they had the previous year, I think that people would have been more down on it.
Do you think people would have been down on Favre or on Holmgren or on Ron Wolf?
I think on Holmgren and Favre in particular. Mm-hmm. You know, and there were occasions where Favre in 93 came very close to being benched, very close.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, they had two really good backup quarterbacks, Mark Brunell, who went on to quarterback Jacksonville mainly, mm-hmm. Lefty took Jacksonville to the AFC Championship game two or three years later. And Ty Detmer, the Heisman Trophy winner from BYU, who was pretty much a career backup, but was a good quarterback. I mean, there was occasions where he came very close to being yanked and very close to being benched for good, or at least for a number of games. But Holmgren stuck with him, and later, Holmgren came out and said that, you know, we were pretty much joined at the hip. You know, as Favre went, that was how my career was going.
Right.
And he said we could win it all or we could end up in the dumpster, but whichever it was, we were doing it together, you know? And I think that it just has that feel so much with the Browns. And I know that, you know, there'll be questions about Freddie Kitchens' play calling. Well, there were questions about Holmgren's play calling in 93. You know, there'll be questions about Baker's decision making. And there were about Favre in 93. And I think that stuff takes time, you know, particularly when you've got a very young quarterback and in essence a rookie head coach. You know, and they're gonna make mistakes. That stuff happens, you know. And whilst I guess as fans, particularly in this day and age, social media and everything else, we want success now. I think that teams that build success, I think, have it for longer rather than those teams that shoot from a, I don't know, say from a 5-win season to an 11-win season, typically don't stay there. So, So whilst it may be a struggle on the way up, I think those teams stay there for longer because they build something.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you.
And in this day and age, even, you know, despite the fact that, you know, the passing offense rules have changed over the years to make passing the predominant way of moving the football these days, that you know, it still remains a quarterback league. And when you've got one, you have to stick by them because they don't come along very often.
But yeah, that's right. Yeah, thinking back, I think things have changed a little bit for head coaches. If you look at McVay in LA, how he just kind of had this meteoric rise, and I think people expect coaches to come in and be great coaches, and some guys have done that, but it's typically been because they've been given a great roster, and you know, some of them were taking over, you know, at a spot where a team was ready to take that next step. But if you go back with Holmgren, how long do you think it took before he was really in charge and really comfortable and really really the guy that they needed to take them to a Super Bowl?
I think probably his third season. Mm-hmm. So I think it took into his third year. He had had the advantage of being the offensive coordinator in San Francisco, so he worked with Joe Montana and Steve Young, and I think even though he was their offensive coordinator, you would imagine that he probably learned more from coaching those guys than they learned from him.
I would think so he
had that advantage, but I think that it undoubtedly took into his third year, and some might argue even into his fourth year. I mean, in 94 the Packers went 9-7 again and made the playoffs as a wild card, so there wasn't a great leap, you know, from 92 to 93 to 94. Mm-hmm. But what there was a, you know, Favre gradually, you know, in 94 he was better than he was in 93, and I think that Holmgren had to adapt to Favre as well, you know. So Favre isn't, you know, wasn't the same quarterback that Joe Montana was, you know. Favre right. wasn't the same quarterback that Steve Young was. So Holmgren had to adapt to him. So I think there's a lot of adaption and learning that has to go on, you know, from the coach, from the quarterback, and it takes time. And it's interesting, you know, the Sean McVay thing is really interesting because he's almost the exception that might prove the rule, but also I think we have to see how that pans out over a period of time. So there's right. a whole lot of, you know, there's a whole lot of feeling going around the league right now that everybody is somehow sparkled with being an offensive guru if they've been within about 10 yards of Sean McVay.
Yes,
you know. But let's just see how that pans out over 5 to 10 seasons. You know, the Rams have had a lot of talent on that roster. They've also made a lot of moves in free agency and trade. So they've not been afraid, you know, to trade away draft picks to improve the team now. But we'll see how that pans out over a number of years.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, he's had a really nice roster out there, and yeah, they keep adding pieces, and they've had their struggles already this season. So yeah, we'll see that the NFC is, I would say, pretty open with some really good teams in it. So
and it's difficult to work out where the real strength of that conference is. You know, you look at the 49ers, And
Mm-hmm.
their schedule, and I know we're only 6 or 7 games into the season, but they've only played one team that's got a winning record. So
Right. Yeah, they've looked
it's
very good, but yeah,
yeah,
you have to see.
it's difficult to work out where that is. The Seahawks are a really, really solid roster, but play poorly this week. The Packers are sitting at 6-1, which is about 3 wins more than anybody expected the Packers to have at this stage of the season. And it's been, a weird season for the Packers in that the offense was poor in the first few weeks and the defense was good, and they won games through defense. And in the last couple of weeks, they've won games through offense, and probably a little bit of help from officials.
Somebody has to get that help because we don't get a lot of it in Cleveland.
well, so it's, it's difficult to work out where the strength of the NFC is, but there do appear to be, 4 or 5 teams there that could go to the Super Bowl, I think.
Yeah, so Aaron Rodgers is what, 30 years old? 30, I
30
believe. 30 or
or
31.
30 oh older. So
Is he
30,
older than that? Okay.
I'm gonna say 35.
Oh, okay. You know what? I think you're right. Yeah. I think I misheard somebody talking on the radio this morning. I think I heard the last part of that age, but you're right. He is older.
So his rookie year was 2005. So this is this is his 15th season.
15th season. So
So
yeah, he's probably 30, 35, 36, 37, that range. So yeah. Interesting. How do you feel about the rest of the, and I don't want to make this too much into a Packers
Oh, sure.
podcast, but how do you feel about the Packers' chances the rest of the way?
Well, I think they've got themselves into a position where, at 6-1, you've got a lot of quite a bit of margin for error now. So I would be disappointed from this point, from this position, that they didn't make the playoffs, because pretty much 10 wins pretty much guarantees you get in. Not absolute, but which would mean only having to go 4-6 from here. I don't think they're as good right now as their record suggests. So I think before the season started, most Packers fans would have settled for a winning record. A 9-7 season we would have thought was progress.
Not
I don't.
anymore. They want more than that now.
Well, and that's and that yeah, and it's again, it's one of those situations where you're in the middle of it. You just don't know how good they are. 3 years or 5 years or 10 years from now, we'll look back and say, actually, you know what? We thought they were better than that, or they were really building something, or I just don't know where they go from here. But I think we would all be disappointed if they didn't make the playoffs from this position.
So here's a question for you as a Packers fan. If you could trade Aaron Rodgers for Baker Mayfield right now, would you do it? Because you're trading Aaron's salary and his age for Baker's youth and his salary that's locked in at the rookie salary for the next 3 years still, I think. So
It would certainly be a very strong consideration. Now, Packers fans, Packers, if I was sitting around any Packers fans, I think I might have been, let's just say, put outside in the corner somewhere and never to be seen again, kind of thing. But,
I understand. I understand because Aaron Rodgers is a proven commodity at this point, but he's also nearing the end of his career.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that, so he's missed significant parts of the last 2 seasons with shoulder injuries. He missed parts of the season before that with concussion. Now the upside is that he's never had a serious leg injury or hip injury or anything like that. So he's probably been lucky in that respect. So, you know, barring a freak accident, he's probably got another 4 or 5 years in him,
mm-hmm.
which is actually the length of the contract that he's got left. And we pretty much would expect him to play out that contract, barring, you know, some unforeseen major injury.
Which you hope with him might get you another Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, Rod, that's such a difficult question to answer. I think the very fact that I'm prepared to consider it.
That says a lot. It says a lot. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's always difficult to trade away a proven commodity who's still certainly near the top of his game, or certainly has been the last 2 or 3 weeks. But like you say, you know, his cap number, you know, you're in the 30 millions, which is, you know, obviously a lot of money. And how many more years do you get out of him? But that's a difficult question.
Baker's got 3 years left on his rookie deal with the fifth year option.
Yep.
So you're hoping for a payoff with Baker by that fifth year. Hopefully, but I would assume the Browns plan to keep him beyond that anyways. But.
I just think that it's undoubtedly easier for a quarterback to come out of college and start immediately or almost immediately now than it was 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. Without question, it's easier to do that.
Yeah.
However, I don't think we can still underestimate playing in a different system with a different coach and growing as a person. You know, somebody who's 22 coming out of college is not the same as somebody that's 30 or 35 in terms of their own personal maturity. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think you can discount or underestimate that.
That's right. So let's talk a little bit about this game that the Browns have coming up against the New England Patriots, who kind of made last night's game not really a game against the New York Jets, and kind of really wasn't that entertaining. they kind of spanked the Jets kind of up and down the field, and after the Jets had a pretty good performance, I think, last week, for them to look this bad against the Patriots. Of course, it's Sam Darnold's first game back, right? So he didn't look good. He just plain didn't look good. He didn't help himself any. But the Patriots are no doubt going to be a very tough opponent for the Browns. This is a game I had high hopes for before the season started, but the Patriots are just playing, I think, beyond what anybody could have imagined, you know, as far as how well they're playing. So what are your thoughts on this game, Peter?
Well, I think you're right. Playing the Patriots at any point of any season, you know, in the last few years has been extremely difficult. I think the problem with some games like last night's games is they just get away from teams. You know, as soon as you're 14 or 17 or 24 points behind a team pretty early mm-hmm. in the game's got away from you. And all the things that you came into the game with, you know, perhaps your game plan was to run more than pass or run a lot on first down. It's all gone at that point. And the whole perspective of what happens in the game after that is completely different to the way it could have panned out.
Right.
So sometimes we have to be a little bit careful about about things, you know, one or two plays go the other way and things change. I've got this feeling that the Browns coming off the bye week, and I think the Browns play really well against the Seahawks just before the bye week. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a game that Cleveland, I think, would like to have back, because I think that's a game that they
could struggle. It was the turnovers.
Yeah. You know, when you lose that turnover battle, I think 4-1, I think the Browns lost the turnover battle in that game.
Yep.
Yeah. So you know, when you're -3 on turnovers, you lose 90-odd% of the games. That's just,
right.
You know.
Right. That's how it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So on the face of it, really disappointing loss. But I think they showed a lot in that game, and I think they did against the Rams as well. So what you have to hope here is that momentum has started to build. And whilst you don't know whether the bye weeks come at a good time or a bad time, you know, because if you're building that momentum, maybe you don't want the bye week to come. But I think for a team that's 2-4, I think that bye week comes at a good time.
Yeah.
And I think the Browns are going to run the Patriots a lot closer than people suspect. I wouldn't put any money on the Browns winning, unfortunately, but I certainly would put money on them covering the spread.
Okay. Well, it spreads 12.5. So
yep.
Yeah, if they can make a game of it, I think a lot of people would be impressed, because nobody's been able to do that yet, I don't think, against the Pats.
No, they haven't, but you know, even Buffalo 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now again, that's another team that you don't quite know what you've got with the Bills, because they struggled against Miami this past week. But
yeah,
Buffalo ran New England really close for 3 quarters, mm-hmm. two or three weeks ago, and it's a big if the Browns can stay free of turnovers. I think the Browns will run the ball on anybody. You know, Chubb's having an exceptional year so far. Mm-hmm. I think if they can feature Chubb, play action pass, they're going up against obviously perhaps the best defense in the league. But I think the Browns will run the Patriots relatively close.
Yeah, I think that's going to be probably what it comes down to. I think that's what they're going to have to do. I don't think they're going to pass the ball for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns against the Patriots. That's just not going to happen. Yeah. They're going to have to control the ball with Chubb. So hopefully they can do some of that.
Yeah, you run the ball, shorten the game. You know, Brady looked good last night, but he hasn't looked great for 3 or 4 weeks before mm-hmm. last night. I think it'll be a closer game than lots of people expect.
Well, I hope you're right, Peter. I do hope you're right. So, all right. Well, Peter, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I look forward to talking to you. We believe in 2 weeks. So, why don't you give your Twitter handle so that people can get in touch with you, give you a follow on Twitter like they should be doing if they're not already.
Sure. Thanks, Rod. I appreciate it. So it's @the_IT_hedgehog. And certainly, you know, appreciate hooking up with all of you good guys on Twitter, and anybody that follows me, I'll give you a follow back as well.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Peter. We'll talk to
Thanks,
you later.
Thanks, Rod. Take care.
That's going to put a wrap on this episode of the Browns Blitz. I want to thank Peter Jones for joining me, and we look forward to having him back on the show in a couple weeks and sporadically thereafter. Peter's going to be a semi-regular on the show, and we're going to be adding some other folks as well. So you're going to want to stay tuned. I think you're going to enjoy what we're going to be doing with the show here over the next few weeks. We'll have a new format coming out really next week with the show, so I'm going to have some information out on Twitter about that as far as the actual specific format. But for now, we're going to sign off.
Clay Matthews Jr. belongs in Canton, and we will catch you next time.